Lane, give me the wave and... Is this? Okay, ready. All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to YCF. Hey, we want to let you know that we are here for you. And more importantly, we want you to know that God is for you, especially during these times. And that is good. Hey, if you'd like to support us as a church, you can give online, you can text to give, and you know, a stamp still works. So, please and thank you very much. So I'm excited about this message. Why don't you go grab your Bibles, get a notepad and a pen, and we'll give you some really good scriptures for today. And if you've been able to follow us, we've been talking about good news. We started with Easter, and you talk about good news. That was Easter. Last week, we talked about salvation. That is good news. And today, we want to talk about God's grace. God's grace is good. Better yet, God's grace is good news. So here we go. I remember years ago, a gentleman saying this, so I copied it down. But he said this. He said, God's grace is the best and the worst feeling. Okay, you know, and think about it. We know we don't deserve God's grace, and sometimes we can just feel real cruddy and unworthy. But listen, God gives us grace anyway, so that's good. That's good. And God's grace is all based on Jesus. So we need to look at this, and that's what we're going to dig into today. God's grace is good. It's good news. So I was thinking, hey, you know what we should do? We should start with a definition. So get your pen and write this down. Here's a definition for grace. Grace, God's unearned, unmerited, and undeserved favor towards us. God's grace is also God's ability towards us, mankind, empowering us to live like Jesus. So let's look at that first part. God's unearned, unmerited, undeserved favor for us. That's God's grace. And I'm telling you what, that is just incredible, right? Yet, I know a bunch of people, and they are working their whole life thinking, I've got to earn God's favor. I've got to earn God's forgiveness. I got to earn this salvation and all the things that God has for us. But listen, guys, God's grace is a free gift, period. End of story. Wonderful exclamation point, right? Now, it's really important that we understand, not look at God's grace and God's favor towards us like the way man's favor and man's grace is. Because I'm telling you what, man's favor can be all based on partiality. And it is totally opposite of what God's grace and God's favor towards us is. So I was thinking what would really help us understand God's grace is, hey, let's start with what it's not. We're just going to go through a checklist of what grace is not. So if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Otherwise, just sit there and smile. Here we go. God's grace is not based on man's agenda. God's grace is not based on man's agenda. So what I mean is, like, if I do this, then I get God's grace. Or if I don't do this, then I get God's grace, okay? But God's grace is based on God's promises and his principles, period. That's wonderful. All right, the second thing that grace is not, God's grace is not racial or gender bias, okay? So listen to Galatians 3:28. It goes like this. God does not see you as a Jew or a Greek. He does not see you as a servant or a person free from work. He does not see you as a man or a woman. You are all one in Christ. So I love that. That tells me that God doesn't chuck some people out because of their race. God doesn't discard people because of their gender. Praise God. So here's our third one of what grace is not. Grace, God's grace is not educational bias. Okay, so It's not given to those who have this big education, this most education, and therefore then they qualify for God's grace. No, no, no. Think about the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul was a very educated, learned man. Okay, true. But then we've got Peter. And guys, Peter was a fisherman. He wasn't walking around with a PhD. He was a fisherman. And you should have seen the bunch that ran with Jesus. So here's the good news. God's grace covers everything. Everybody. God's grace is available to everybody. And I like that. So this is good. This is good news about God's grace. He doesn't give it to a select few. He doesn't give it to you if you do this or if you don't do this. It is entirely based on Jesus. So God's grace is a free gift for anyone who would call on the name of the Lord. I like that. I really like that. So that's what grace is not. So let's dig into what grace is, okay? And I'm going to give you about three things that we should all know about grace. We should know about grace. So if you're taking notes, number one, this is what you should know about grace. Ready? Salvation only comes by grace. Now, many of you have been walking with the Lord Jesus and you know that. And some of you, this is like new to you. But let's get into the word because that's where we're going to find out this. So if you turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible and it goes like this. For it is by grace God's remarkable passion and favor drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life. So this is how God saves us. He saves us through grace and on our faith in him. Okay, let's read the rest of that part. And this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved, gracious gift of God. I love that. So here's what I know about grace. When I accepted Jesus into my life, number one, I knew I didn't deserve Jesus in my life. Number two, I didn't deserve this salvation. I knew I didn't deserve this gift, but it came because of God's grace, okay? And it definitely wasn't because Dee did all these good things. It certainly was not. It's only God's grace that you enter into God's kingdom. And that is how salvation comes. Praise God. So it's good. That's good news. And I'm telling you, God's grace, when I think about that, it brought me into this salvation. And now I know that I'm not judged by God. I have eternal life. I can enter God's presence. Heaven is my forever home and a whole bunch of other things. And it's all because of God's grace that brought salvation into my life through Jesus Christ. So number one, salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. And that is definitely good. So here's our next one. Number two, here's the next thing that we know that grace has brought into us. Number two, ready? Righteousness comes only by God's grace. Righteousness only comes by God's grace. Now, this one has a tendency to trip some people up. Like, for the most part, people will say, yeah, I know I need a savior. I need to get saved. And they're cool with that. But this one will trip people up and it'll be more like, you know, I have to do some things to earn righteousness. That's what trips people up. And you know, when someone says that to me, that means it's based totally on their behavior and how they're living their life. But that's not according to the word of God. Righteousness is a gift of grace. So let's open up our Bibles to Second Corinthians 5:21. And I'm going to read this out of the Passion Bible. And people ask me all the time, Pastor D, where do you get these different Bible translations? Well, they're real easy. Go online. But my next question, they always say, hey, how come you read out of these different translations? Well, for me, sometimes you can read out of your Bible you've had since a kid, and you just read that same verse, and it sort of goes in one ear and out of another. So when I pull a new translation out, And there's some really good ones. This one here, the passion one is, it just kind of brings light and it excites me again and it just becomes real. So, you know, this is a good one. You can go online and get it. It's the Passion Bible. So listen to this, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made the only one, Jesus, who did not know sin, to become sin for us, so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with him, with Jesus Christ. So in other words, Jesus, he never sinned. He never missed it. He never messed up. And God made him to become sin. Okay, so that we who never were righteous, never were right with God because of our sin, could become right with God. We could be made right with God through Jesus. Okay, so that's how righteousness, we get righteousness because of God's grace in our life. Praise God, that is so good. So here's the question. What does righteousness mean? Okay, and some of you already know that, but if you're, this is new, this, write this down. Righteousness means in right standing. In right standing. So I got to think of some conversations I've heard over the years, and someone will say, hey, you know, Jimmy, he's not in right standing with the boss. They had this big falling out, okay? So sometimes we hear that. Now think about righteousness with in right standing. So when we accept Jesus into our life by faith through God's grace, we are instantly made righteous. Just like that, we are automatically made in right standing with God, okay? We are automatically, when we accept Jesus, made in right standing with God. So what's the big deal about righteousness? Like it's great to say, hey, I'm in right standing with God, right? But what's the big deal? Well, let me tell you, when you know that you are righteous, when you know that you are in right standing with God, it has a direct effect on how you access God. So think about prayer. All right. How do you pray? How do you come into prayer? How do you approach God in prayer? How do you feel about going into the throne room of grace to obtain mercy? Well, if you do not understand, and let me tell you, this is so vital, but if you do not understand that the day you receive Jesus into your life, you were then in right standing with God, man, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. So let me give you one other thing to think about on righteousness. So the day I accepted Jesus, I was in right standing with God, period. But you will never get any more righteous, okay? It's like, if I do this and I go to the next level and I go, like playing a game, right? I go to the next level, I'm going to be more righteous. No. Listen, the day you accepted Jesus into your life, you were made as righteous as you'll ever be, as righteous as you'll ever walk on the earth, and as righteous when you get to heaven. You were made right standing with God. And righteousness, guys, is a free gift. Hallelujah. And when we understand that, it will change how you pray, how you access God, and so much more. So listen to Romans chapter 5, verse 21. Romans chapter 5, verse 21. This is out of the New Living Translation. Romans is written by the Apostle Paul. Romans 5, 21. And it goes like this. Just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whew. I love that. So I love that. And yet I run into people that think even after they've accepted Jesus into their life, they feel like they have to work to be more right with God. No. You'll never be more right with God than the day, the moment you ask Jesus Christ into your life. Okay. So you don't have to do works to get your righteousness. The day you accepted Jesus, you came into this right standing. Amen. That's so good. Let me give you another scripture about this. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 10, just glorious. It talks about our salvation. But listen to this part. I'm going to read, let's do verse 10. So Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Okay? So when you accept Jesus, you become in Jesus. When you accept Jesus into your life, you are now in Christ. And that is wonderful. Now, my good deeds didn't get me in Christ. My good deeds, let me tell you, there weren't a lot of them. And they couldn't get me salvation. But the day I accept Jesus into my life, the day you accept Jesus into life, you are in Christ, okay? And in Christ, you are now created to do good works, okay? To do good deeds, all right? So it's almost like you are have accepted Jesus, you're in Christ, and it's almost like it's been unlocked for you to do good works out of the righteousness that you have now. But let me tell you, good works won't save you. Praise God, it is God's grace. All right, well, let's so we have two things. It doesn't matter who you are. Number one, salvation comes by grace, right? And number two, righteousness comes by grace. And here's number three, grace is good because grace is enough. You should write that one down. Grace is enough. So what do I mean by grace is enough? Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 12, 9. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 12, 9. It goes like this. But he said, my grace, this is the Lord talking, excuse me, let me give you background. This is the Lord talking to the Apostle Paul. And he'd been through a whole bunch of stuff and attacks and persecution. And God just speaks to him and he says, and my grace is sufficient for you. All right. That word sufficient also means enough. So God's grace is enough. You don't need anything else. God's grace is enough. All right. I love it. I love it. I love it. And yet there are times, maybe you've done this. I know I've done this. I've been walking through my life and I try to do everything in my own effort, in my own ability. And it's sort of like, I got this. I can do this. I'm going to do this. All right. And this is what Paul said. No, no, no. My grace is enough. No, no, no. My grace is sufficient. So guys, what you and I need more than anything is to walk in this grace of God for every situation that we run into life. And so listen to what Paul says now in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Got another translation for you. This is the Amplified. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It goes like this. For it is not your strength. Oh, good. But it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is to strengthen and energize, doesn't that sound like grace? And creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. Did you hear that? It's God's ability. It's God's grace that is able to help you do what he's called you to do. God's grace is going to help you do what you're called to do in this life. Okay. Now you don't try to do it on your own. Don't try to do it in your own strength and your own ability, but God wants you definitely to rely on his grace, because his grace is enough. Praise God. I'm glad it's enough. So I have a question for you. Listen to this. Here we go. What do you think we're supposed to do with this grace? Okay. With these truths about grace, what do you think we're supposed to do? You're supposed to just collect all this knowledge, sort of like hoarding. Okay. Well, I'm sorry to say, or I am happy to say, no, we are supposed to do something with this grace, with these truths that we know. Okay. And here's the first thing, what we're supposed to do with grace. Number one, ready? Freely give grace. Freely give grace. And Matthew 10, 8 says, freely you have received, freely you give. All right. And this is a principle for everything that God gives us, right? So if God has forgiven us, right? All of our sins. Guess what? We are to forgive others. All righty. And if God has given us his love, he's extended his love to you. Guess what? You are to love one another. And so it's the same with grace. If God has given you his grace, guess what? You are to put grace on people. You are to extend grace to people. All right. Now, we don't have grace to save anybody. Only God does that. And we don't have the grace to make somebody righteous. Only God does that. But listen, guys, we can show God's grace to others. All right. We can show them in the same way that God has showed us his grace, his favor, his unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. We can do that to others. So I was thinking of a story, and I'm sure a few of you have done this before. I'm driving on this big expressway like 695 heading down to Baltimore or something like that, and all of a sudden someone is driving on my tail. They are just like right up on my bumper, and then all of a sudden they pass me, and then a few seconds later, they are trying to cut in front of me, squeeze in between me, and I can either say, "You idiot," which, you know, I don't say that anymore, or I can show them grace, all right? And I'll tell you what, the Lord worked on my heart, and he said to me a long time ago, you need to show grace because you don't know what's going on in their life. And, you know, they could be the parent that just dropped their kids off at daycare, their kids had a meltdown, and now they're late for work, and their boss said, "Hey, you're late one more time, and you're going to lose your job." So me showing grace could have an impact on people. And I know that's a funny example, but it might be true for a bunch of you also, all right? But also, think about this. Think about if the roles were reversed. Wouldn't you want someone to extend grace in your life, like do unto others as you want it to happen to you? So wouldn't it be nice if the grace that you might need, somebody does it? So just think about the roles reverse, and how about we become people who freely give grace to people? We become the people that freely show grace. I think that'd be amazing. So here's our second one. Here's our second one, that number two, that we would continue to grow in grace. Write that down, continue to grow in grace. So what do I mean grow? Okay, and we talked about there's not levels in this, but that word there means to mature, to grow up, to mature. So listen to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. This is out of the New King James. Now, before I read this, let me give you a background. This is the Apostle Peter. And if you've read the Gospels, Peter was not perfect. He had a bunch of character faults. He was hot-headed. His mouth got him in trouble. He just was trigger-happy. You know, Peter was just not... He had growth needs, okay? So think about this. Listen to this part here. This is Peter writing, 2 Peter 3:18. He says, "But grow in grace," meaning or mature in it, "and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and honor both now and forever." So I believe the more that we grow in the Word of God, like I grow in understanding God's love, like I grow in understanding God's character, and I grow in understanding what Jesus did for me on the cross, and I grow in understanding all that authority that I have now, okay, the more that the Word gets in me, the more it becomes real to me, guess what? I will grow in being mature in my grace. Absolutely. I've seen it. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in a bunch of your lives. So I was thinking about, you know, the more that I have the Word and understanding and I grow in this, that means the more I will extend grace and forgiving people, the more I will extend grace and just forgive one another. All right. And the crazy, wonderful thing is it changes me. Praise God, praise God. So freely we have been given grace, so freely we give, and we are to continue to grow in grace. And here's the last thing that we should be doing with these truths about grace, not just collecting them, but this is what we can do with grace. And here it goes like this. Continue to be empowered by grace. Continue to be empowered by grace. That's number three. So turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Now, here's the background on this. You know, sometimes you just read scriptures, and if you don't understand what's before it, behind it, it just, you don't get the full impact. So I always try to give you a background. So this is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to Timothy, and he's just told him about the terrible persecutions and hardships that he's had to endure. So he's writing this to his we call him his son in faith, Timothy, and it goes like this. Paul says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So that word strong, it means be empowered, or be empowered by. So he's telling us to be empowered by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And, you know, with all that's going on these last couple of weeks, I'm sure some things have not been easy for people, but God wants you to tap into his empowerment and his grace to help you through that, all right? Now, did you know that grace can help you overcome sin? Did you know that grace can help you overcome addictions? Did you know that grace can help you overcome your fiery hot temper that gets you in trouble? It can. But now we can either buckle in and just say, I can do this myself. I can do this myself. And I'm going to stop this. I'm going to stop this. And it kind of reminds me of all the New Year's resolutions, like this year I'm not going to do this, and I'm going to. And what happens is, by the time the end of January comes by, we failed. Like, because I'm going to try, and it never happens. So, what happens if we were to tap in to the grace of God, to be empowered by God, and when we do that, He gets with us. It's sort of like He gets in the boat with us. If we tap into His power, His grace, He gets in, and He will help you walk out the Word of God. And I'm telling you, I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in a bunch of your lives. So we want to tap in to God's power, His grace, and watch Him help us through every situation. So when God tells us to love one another, praise God, we can tap into His grace and we can do it, all right? And not only will He empower us to do the things we can't do, but think about this one. How many people in your life have showed you grace? Maybe it was a teacher, maybe it was a coach, maybe it was a coworker or a boss, but think about that. They could have said, man, you have totally messed up. Like, next, I'm done with you, throw you on the side of the road. But they looked at you and they said, no, there's something in you. Okay, and they showed you grace, unmerited favor. How about undeserved, unearned favor, okay? Basically, they saw possibilities in you, possibly, that you didn't even see. So here's my question. Who can you show that to? Who can you show grace to? And I'm telling you, God will put people in your path. And the more you give freely of this grace, you will mature in grace. So let's just pray right now. Father, we thank you for this opportunity just to pull apart your word, to have it be a light unto our path, Father, just to set us free that we don't have to earn righteousness, that you have freely given us this gift. I thank you, Father, for making this real in our life. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will help us to remember to extend grace, just as God, you have given us so much grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, God is for you, and have a wonderful week.